being asked for spare change by a person on the street or other places can be a little awkward at times. Do we look them in the eye or do we just avoid eye contact? Do we look at their sign that they might have holding up, and if we like the sign, we give. If we don't like the sign, we don't. When do you give and when do you walk away? As I look back at my past experiences, I have to admit that a lot of times it's based on my mood. Do I feel like giving today or don't I? Other times I take a look and I make a judgment call at that moment. Do I give a little spare change or do I just keep it? Do I put down the window along the road or do I make sure that the thing is locked? When do I open up my wallet and when do I close it? But what if we were asking, what we're asking for, or what the person was asking for, is not what they really need? What if we say, well, that's not what the person really needs? As if we somehow can say what the person needs. But that's exactly what we find in our story this morning. I would invite you to turn with me to Acts 3:1-10. Acts 3:1-10. Peter and John meet a panhandler, a beggar. And they look at this person. And they said, well, what does this person really need? Hear these words. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, hey, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So here we have Peter and John going to the temple to pray. Now, when they go to the temple to pray, they would do this 3 times a day, morning, mid-afternoon, and early evening. And as they go this day, they meet this man, this crippled man. And Luke gives us details about this man. He says this man was crippled from birth. He never knew what it felt like to put his 2 feet on the ground and to walk. He never had his mother or father say, okay, come on, and put his name together. Come, you can walk. Take a couple steps. Every day, people in his network, people that his family and maybe friends, carried him to the temple gates so he could beg for money. He could not work. He was overlooked in society. And all he was trying to do was to meet his immediate needs. I mean, we're all like that, aren't we? I mean, that's human nature, isn't it? To only want to find and to satisfy our human needs. And that brings me to the question for me and maybe for you is, what do I need? What do I need to bring me satisfaction? What did this man need to bring him satisfaction? Imagine for a moment, being a friend or family member of someone with these kind of needs. And every day they had to pick up this gentleman, and they had to carry him 300 yards, a mile or two, we don't know. Every day they woke up, one or two different people, and got this crippled person to the temple gate so he could be placed there, that just someone might have a little charity for him that day. And then in verse 4, Peter says these words, "Look at us." He was wanting this man to pay attention to what Peter and John were about to say. But this man did not expect anything different. I mean, his normal routine suggested that there's no hope. He had no vision for a different life. All he knew that every day, day after day after day, he would scan the crowd. And he would watch people come by and scan them and look into their eyes to see maybe, just maybe, that person, that one person, will spare a little change for him. You see, I believe the man saw Peter and John, but he was pretty good. I mean, you've been begging and doing this all your life. You're pretty good. You might have your eyes on Peter and John, but your other eye is scanning the crowd to see who might be the one that will give you something, a little bit of spare change. And I think that's why when Peter and John were looking at this man, and this man was giving them a little bit of attention but still scanning the crowd, that's why I believe Peter says, "Look at us." Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. Have your children ever played video games? And they're there on the screen, they're playing video games, and you say something to them, and they completely ignore you. They don't even hear you. And you say, "Hey, Isaac, do you hear me? Look at me." And all at once they shake and go, "Oh, what? Did you say something?" I believe that this man, now, after Peter said, "Look at us." You see, this man, he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, we read the story through our own lenses, but he had no clue. I mean, today was going to be a day like every other day. How was he to even imagine that this day might be different than others? I mean, every day he needed help to get there. Every day he needed to be helped to bathe and someone to help him, maybe to feed him and to take care of him. Imagine that kind of life. And so when he's there at the temple gate, he needs someone to help him. And all he was asking for was just a coin or a little bit of change. But Peter and John knew that the need is greater. And so Peter and John say, "Silver and gold I do not have." You say, "Hey, Peter and John, what's wrong with you? Weren't you at the service a couple weeks ago here at Slate Hill? Didn't you remember what Lynn said about Matthew 25, about the sheep and the goats? About the sheep were on one side, and they're ones who had given to the least of these. And Jesus said, 'Those who gave the least of me has given to me.' And then the goats on the other side who said, 'I don't know when you were there. I never saw you, Jesus.' Because they had not given to those." And for the goats, he said, "When I asked you for something, you did not help them. And then also you did not help me." So maybe Peter and John, I mean, maybe they didn't have any change in their pockets. But they knew this man needed more than just physical healing. He needed something deeper, something more eternal, much more. And so in verse 5, it says that the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. That's to be expected. And then in verse 6, he says, Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And this man gets up and he starts walking. There's many miracles in the Bible. There's many times in the Bible where we see healings in the name of Jesus. But you notice many times with those healings, those miracles that happen in the Bible, it's not just the physical. Jesus is not addressing only the physical. He wants them to receive salvation. He knows that these people need money, the physical things that they need to survive day by day. But he knows ultimately that they need more than that, that they need Jesus. And that's what Peter and John were doing. And I think the question this morning for us is this. Do you need Jesus? What will bring you satisfaction? What is the longings of your heart? What are the things that you're looking for that will guarantee satisfaction and joy? You see, I think that we're trained in such a way, those in the church and outside the church, we're trained, oh, it's not said explicitly, but we're trained that if we just follow certain steps, you go to the right school, you marry the right person, you have children, you get a job, and you hope that those children, after they get a good job, will now support you later on in life. You're living a dream, people. It might not happen. But what we really need is not spare change. We need Jesus. We don't need more money or more prestige. Satisfaction is not the things of this world. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to sell out for him. What happened in the life of this man? What is he chasing? What are we chasing? What are we chasing to get us through maybe just another day? What are we crippled by? What are the things that something in our life that we're crippled by? Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's broken relationship. Are we going to reach out to him and say, help me? Doesn't anyone care? And all God wants to do is to bring us back to him. Bring us back to his son, who alone can satisfy. There was a pastor named Tullian Chavinchin. I think I pronounced his name. He was a grandson of Billy Graham, and he wrote a book years ago. And he wrote this book, and it was called Jesus Plus Nothing is Everything. Now, Tullian's life has taken a detour even after he wrote this book. But this is what he says in his book. He says that he realized in his life that he was not doing Jesus plus nothing is everything. This is what Tullian said as he went and he merged with another church and he was a pastor of that church. He said for the first time in his life, he did not have the praise of men and women. And he said it was hard for him. He said he used to get threatening letters and people would write him and people would threaten him for his life and tell him he must resign, he must get out of this church. And he said, for the first time in my life, I found myself in the uncomfortable position of being deeply disliked and distrusted and by more than a few people. And this is what he says, and now I realize just how much I've been relying on something other than, something more than the approval and acceptance and love that were already mine in Jesus. He goes on to say, I was being challenged by God to more fully understand exactly what I already had in Christ. For far longer than I recognized, I had been depending on the endorsement of others to validate me, to stamp me, to make me feel that I mattered. God began rescuing me from the slavery by forcing me to rediscover the gospel. He goes on to say, his good news met me in the dark, my dark place, at my most deepest need. Through his liberating word, I was being transformed and freed and refreshed. This morning, I want to ask you a question. What is your disability? What is holding you captive from loving and obeying Jesus? What are we seeking in this life to bring us satisfaction? See, as I read this story, we're all crippled. Are we seeking satisfaction from worldly success, through wealth, through careers, through status, through how many people love us or care for us. See, I believe that the title of that book is very important, because the title of that book says, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So if that's true, we can ask our math guy over here about that equation. But if that's true, is Jesus enough for you? Does Jesus plus nothing really equal everything to us? If you notice the response of the man after being healed by God in body and soul, at the beginning of the story, all this man wanted was to satisfy his human needs. And he just thought if he got another coin or another extra coin in his pocket, that maybe that would just satisfy him. That will get him through another day, and it will. And it did. But after receiving the name of Jesus in his life, his immediate reaction was to not just run away and tell everyone, was to sing praise to God. He found satisfaction in bringing God glory. Verses 9 and 10 again says this. When all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now remember, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, just earlier they walked past him on the way in. They recognized him. Can you imagine what they thought? As the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Those who had come for the afternoon prayer saw this man walking and praising God. See, Luke reminds us, and I think rightly reminds us again, that this was the same man that was begging at the beginning at the gate. But now this same man was jumping and praising and walking and praising God. And the whole temple was brimming with wonder and astonishment at what it just witnessed. So what can we learn? What can we learn from this man's story? The story that was plopped in Acts 3. I think that we can learn this. That the only thing that will bring us satisfaction is more of Jesus. More of him. That Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Is that the prayer of your heart today? With all the competing things around you, all the things that are clamoring and just we want to reach out and touch, that says if we touch this, if we get one more thing, or we get this, or we marry this person, or do this, or have this relationship, or gather this, or this new thing, that somehow, just some way, we find out that satisfaction that we so longed for was just out of our grasp. No, I know. We grabbed it. But it wasn't really satisfaction. Then we grabbed something else. In an article called Satisfaction in the Savior, a young Christian woman named Catice Burrell tells a story about her friend and his remarkable family. At the dinner, she said, he and his siblings would finish their plates, head over to their dad's side of the table and begin eating off his plate. The mom, after a while, took notice of this and said, why do you eat at dad's plate? And he said, we only get full after eating after dad's plate. And she writes, these children had all eaten, but none of them were truly satisfied until they could eat something from their father's plate. I believe in the same way, God our Father, and no matter what we have eaten or what we have been drinking of this world, satisfaction only comes when we eat from his plate. Who's your Father? Who's your Savior? Who's the source and sustainer of your life? See, I think back on my life. I think back to the times where I was the most satisfied. I have to be honest with you, it wasn't in the peaks. It was in the valleys. Because in the peaks, I realized that there was a lot of me in that. And yet I wasn't really sustained. And I remember the times I was the most satisfied was when God was reaching down to me. And I felt the presence of Jesus in my life. I remember it was like eating off Daddy's plate, who loves us, who loves things, we love things about him. Is he really the Prince of Peace? Is he really the Lord of our Lords? Do you love that Jesus? Because if you won't, and if you don't, and if you don't sell out for Jesus, then I will tell you, you'll be miserable for the rest of your days. Because nothing in this world can bring us true, everlasting satisfaction. And so I would invite you this morning. We don't do this very often, but I invite you this morning that as we sing the song, Jesus Be the Center, that if you want to make that commitment, if you want to say, you know what, I'm tired of reaching just far enough to grab and get what I am. This satisfaction thing's been bothering me for so long. Maybe you're on the hilltops or maybe you're in the valleys. I don't know which way you may be. But maybe you want to say, you know what, today I want to reaffirm, maybe for the first time, I want to confirm and I want to sell out and I want to realize that Jesus plus nothing gets us everything. And so as we sing this song, if you want to make that commitment today, we're singing that song, you just stand right where you're at. And really, it's not about us so much, it's about you and your relationship with God at this moment. But I would ask you, if you want to stand and say, yes, I want to reaffirm and say, Jesus plus nothing is everything. And so let's sing. Jesus, we are so glad that the Almighty Father sent you to to walk among us, to go through some of the pain and the suffering that we have, the temptations and the things of this world. And Lord, we confess to you today that there's times where Jesus plus all kinds of things might get us to somewhere. And I pray, Lord, that as we go from this place, as we take this commitment, whether by standing or by sitting or by confessing that to you, I pray, Lord, we would take that out beyond these walls, to our places of work, to our families, to where we want to commit ourselves. Lord, we know there's a lot of clamor around, a lot of things going on around us, a lot of things that take all of our energy, take our eyes off you, even though we think we're pointing towards you. And I pray, Lord, today would be the start, a renewal of us to say, Jesus, you alone will satisfy. Lord, I pray as we leave this place that in our minds and our hearts we would take again that equation, Jesus plus nothing gives us everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.